Welcome to the first episode of the first series of the Women in CX Talk Trends podcast, a new series dedicated to bringing you the latest news and insights from female leaders in the CX and technology space. On a mission to ensure women are at the centre of important industry conversations, join me, Claire Muscat, and my inspiring guests as we debate the hottest CX topics and explore current trends, helping you to stay ahead of the curve of the latest developments shaping customer and employee experiences. In today's episode, sponsored by RingCentral, I'll be talking to their Worldwide Contact Centre VP of Sales, Danita Belcher, about the current state of customer service and whether AI can really save the day. Hi, Danita.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. Welcome to the Women in CX Talk Trends podcast, and welcome to everybody who's listening or watching wherever you are. So first of all, Danita, for our listeners who maybe aren't so familiar with you, could you please give us a little introduction to yourself and your role at RingCentral?
Of course. I'm Danita Belcher, and I'm the global leader of our contact center sales business here at RingCentral. And for those listeners who may not be familiar with RingCentral, we're a global provider of cloud communications platforms that address both employee and customer interaction. So business communications in the cloud. And I have been in this space for, I hate to say this, but 30 years of various enterprise sales and contact center, as well as conversational AI at a number of locations, and joined Ring about 3 years ago.
Wow, some serious experience there. I'm so happy that you could join me today. And our podcast today, we're going to be talking about your recent study, actually, that you held with Opinion Research that you conducted around customer service experiences. And this report specifically talked about what constitutes bad customer service and how AI might be able to improve it. So with that in mind, I'd love to kick off the discussion around some of the key findings. And I think one really big one that stood out to me was what consumers are considering bad customer service.
Great question. And I did want to share with everyone that the Opinion Research Project included over 6,000 respondents. Wow. And they were based in the US, UK, and France. Mm-hmm. I think really one of the most interesting results were that 97% of the respondents had complaints or issues and frustrations with customer service. Wow. So only 3% had actually, had satisfactory interactions, which I think is huge. Mm-hmm. The top two areas of frustration, over half the respondents had issues with and frustrations with really the interactive bots, chat bots and self-service, not being able to understand what they really wanted or not having the options that they were asking for. And then the second top area half the respondents was also around being transferred to agents, mm-hmm. not really being able to get their questions answered the first time.
Yeah. Wow. 97%. That's a sad indictment, isn't it, of the state of the customer service industry?
Absolutely. And just one other thing I wanted to add that the study showed was that there were differences in various regions. Respondents in the UK were more concerned about long wait times. Mm-hmm. And in the US, it was about not having personalization. So I thought that was really interesting and important that we consider as we work in various regions and support customers, that we consider the cultural preferences as well as other requirements and compliances and like GDPR in the UK, et cetera. So I thought that was really interesting as well.
Yeah. So as I can speak on behalf of Britain, that yes, long wait times is one of the biggest frustrations for me also. But I think what I've really struggled with as a consumer, and definitely I hear this repeated in multiple studies and also multiple conversations, is that I think a lot of businesses just kind of hurried, didn't they, to the cloud at the start of the pandemic and hadn't really thought about the experiences and the journeys that the customer would need to go in. So the tech has been implemented perhaps less so with the customer's needs in mind. And yeah, I think it's really interesting to think about that perspective of cultural difference on what's more important for different groups there.
Very important. I think, you know, the migration to the cloud was certainly expedited due to the pandemic. And, you know, our customers certainly had successful migrations in that transformation of on-premise to the cloud. But to your point, some of the things that companies did was also rush to self-service systems and bots without thinking through the customer's experience and what they were able to support. Most importantly, you know, rushing to do that and not really thinking through all of the use cases is an issue, but not letting customers out of a self-service environment is really the most important and you know, most frustrating to all of us. If we can't get an answer, we don't want to be locked in doing multiple attempts at a question that clearly the system isn't supporting. So we did see that. And you know, the risk with that is that companies will be gun shy to then actually deploy something that does work, that does address the right use cases and really have the customer in mind. So I think we may see, you know, a bit of a delay as well due to that race to the self-service.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the intention behind moving to self-service for a lot of companies that maybe didn't implement things quite so well was this like allure of saving costs, because naturally if you take out agents, the cost of running contact centers will reduce. But those chatbots that you mentioned, like I think it's a really great example where even if you say, I want to talk to a human, it won't let you out and speak to a human. It will just give you the same kind of programmed response of, do these three things help you to do what you need to do? And it's like, no, I want to talk to a human. But it's like been taken away as an option entirely, hasn't it? To either speak to or call contact centers for some companies who have failed to do this well, which kind of brings me on to my next question. Bearing in mind this allure of saving money, what are the potential consequences for businesses that provide poor customer service experiences? And, you know, how do they actually translate to actual costs?
Yes, no, that's a great question. And the stakes are truly high. Our research in the study found that 57% of consumers who had a bad customer service experience were unlikely to return as a customer. So over half. And in addition to that, of course, they're not keeping their opinions to themselves. So with the prevalence of social media today, a company that delivers a bad experience to a customer, it's going to be known to that customer's friends and followers and so forth, you know, just a very, very broad community. Predominantly in this space, net promoter scores are used to measure our experience for companies. And studies have shown that an increase in the net promoter score has correlated to an increase in revenue. Likewise, a decline in their net promoter score and bad experiences lead to a decline in a company's revenue. There's a direct correlation.
It's interesting, isn't it, that like chat channels, for example, on social media platforms was very much the fashion a few years ago, wasn't it? And having kind of conversations taking place in front of other people to potentially brand damaging effects if the last course of action a customer can take is having not been able to access service through the channels provided to then take to in an aggravated stage of their feelings of frustration to then go back to that channel of trying to have that conversation with somebody, because there is a human on the social media management platforms to be able to do that.
Exactly. And it is, you know, even if companies don't have someone available to, you know, 24/7, and that's going to be one of the reasons that they're providing self-service, then they need to give customers an option that, you know, how they'll get back to them and respond to them in another way and let them know that they, you know, they understand they need something and that they're going to get back to them. I mean, that's minimally what they should be able to do if they're unable to staff or really are trying to save that cost.
Yeah. And again, back to being British and hating to wait around. Like I've loved asynchronous versions of communication. So I can just like ping a message, be told we'll get back to you as soon as possible and then get a notification to then resume that conversation rather than waiting around in real time to be able to do that.
Absolutely.
But how does like AI enable those more seamless conversation starts and being able to resolve your inquiry or your issue immediately?
That's a great question, and I'm glad you brought up the AI topic. I'm sure we are all hearing about that everywhere, and lots of companies with AI even in their name right now. Mm-hmm. And certainly while people are trying to do more with less, AI has a critical role in that. But it can also help, to your point, making that experience better and really throughout the customer journey. We're seeing AI used in self-service to provide more conversational interaction, the ability to really truly understand what the customer is, what their intent is. And then more importantly, taking that information, if the customer does need to talk to an agent and having that follow the customer's flow to the agent. We also see a big role in enabling agents with AI capabilities, providing them not only with that history of what the customer was trying to do so that they can start the conversation where the customer left off in the self-service channel, but also providing them with tools to better service the customer and providing them guidance and feedback throughout the journey. So really, really a big role.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of how AI has been augmenting the human agent in things like summarization, being able to log the notes of what happened in the call to be able to suggest responses that obviously the human has to go back and tweak and make sure it is the right one.
I have some actual results I wanted to pull up. That there are three areas that we found in the study that respondents expect AI to be used to help make their experience better. And, that is the one that we talked about on wait times. Yeah. 37% felt there was improvement there. And then the second piece we talked about, interacting with an agent, having them be able to access all of the account information and all the relevant data in a timely manner was also, 37% improvement. And then finally, that availability of support 24/7 on the channel of choice, right? Mm-hmm. They might want to, there's a lot of digital preferences, but some people still want to, use the phone, and particularly if they're driving, for example, so that they are still able to communicate and get information on the channel of their choice.
I totally get that. Like the AI can staff contact centers more consistently, I suppose, and more effectively and more efficiently as that first line entry point into those conversations. But there are some pretty big pitfalls, aren't there, that businesses can fall into with this. Where the ones that are going wrong, what is it they're actually doing? It sounds like a lot of it is down to the quality of the data at the root of the algorithms and the generative AI capabilities. So I know that members of our community quite often talk about like the knowledge base having to be right in the first place. And part of the reason old style non-gen AI, traditional chatbots failed was because it didn't have the data sources to pull on in the first place. Do you have any views on how to get this right?
No, absolutely. There are, ways to deploy AI that are, going to be more effective. And to your point, that data is a key element of getting it right. Access to data, the way that Ring approaches this is actually leveraging AI data that can be used across the business. So for agents and for employees alike, so that you have consistent access and you have the broadest use of data. So kind of removing those silos, if you will, and also, providing data that is specific to the customer. So being safe. Mm-hmm. I think there's I don't know if you've heard about it, but a phenomenon called, bot failures or hallucinations.
Hallucinations, yeah.
If I could talk this morning. So providing incorrect information to customers, right? So so it's really important, to your point, that they have access to the right data, that they're leveraging company data and not necessarily everything in the free internet world and open world for for consumers to access businesses and get the right answers. So that is really important.
Yeah, no, being able to provide those guardrails. I think I've been asked the question before, why can't we just use ChatGPT as like our OpenAI source for this kind of thing? But there are a lot of reasons why not, right? As you said,
yes.
The access to the open internet, your data then being exposed to the open internet, but being able to build your own customized based on your data, based on being able to provide safe, transparent, secure data is absolutely critical, isn't it? So moving us on to talk a little bit more about some of the funnier things that were in the report and the potential consequences for customers. In your report, they mentioned some rather unpleasant things that they'd rather do than contact customer services. Would you like to share with the audience a few about of those examples and what that says about the attitudes customers have towards service interactions?
Absolutely. This was definitely the most enlightening part of the survey and certainly the most humorous, as you mentioned. The study showed that more than half of the respondents would rather clean their bathroom than contact customer service. Wow. I don't know about you. Cleaning the bathroom is low on the list. I'm just, surprised. Hopefully I didn't come up with anything like root canal in the responses, but cleaning the bathroom is pretty bad. And then two-fifths said that they would rather go without the internet for an hour. So, it was like, as we all know, kind of cutting off our left arm if we don't have access to the internet for an entire hour. And then almost one fifth, this was the real clincher, said that they would prefer to deal with vermin infestation in their homes rather than contacting customer service. So clearly high frustration levels.
Wow. What do you think that says about customers' attitudes towards customer service interactions then?
I think it seems like it's only if you're in dire straits and needing help with something that you're going to reach out and contact customer service. So that should be a wake up call to companies on their approach to it and how they, help customers in their journey and doing better. And, as we've, talked about throughout our conversation, not just the customer, but some of the tools that we've mentioned in helping agents be better and helping that interaction with the agents be better for customers when they do connect with a customer service rep are super important.
Yeah, that's quite a big perception challenge now, isn't it? Like if the rep of the customer service industry, agnostic of which brand or business you're interacting with, people's mindset around it is they have this impression that it's that bad. You'd rather deal with vermin infestation and clean the bathroom. Do you think that's like maybe could be a positive advantage for companies where they do provide standout great customer service? Because it would be, a pleasant surprise, right? If the expectation is so low.
Absolutely. I think that, companies can capitalize on that. If they're providing a great experience and, leveraging those capabilities and I think their customers are going to proliferate the message, but they can absolutely use that as differentiation and publicize the fact that they're, incorporating a great experience for their customers.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, like more of a differentiator for them to win on that. I'm thinking about, I think something that is a bit of a mindset issue, perhaps for businesses and customer experience leaders, is this perception that AI digital channels isn't wanted, particularly by perhaps the older baby boomer generation, and whether or not that's true or that's just a perception thing as well. But in the research you provided with Opinium, it indicated that actually a large proportion of customers are ready for AI enhanced customer service. So like, do you have any more detail about like who that is and how they can believe or how they believe that customer service interactions could be improved by AI?
Absolutely. And as we mentioned earlier, AI for AI's sake is not going to be the answer. But when companies are thoughtful in how they leverage it, We're finding that results can, reduce churn and other, disadvantages for their business internally and with customer experience. Using AI for the channel of choice for a customer, right? You're saying that, people think that they're not ready for it, but our surveys show that they are. And I think offering that options for customers to decide how they want to communicate with the business and what their preferences are, which also brings that personalization that we heard about in the US respondents feedback, looking for that personal touch. So taking that information and then making the experience personal for customers also helps adoption to, being willing to do self-service and other forms of interaction with companies. I think the next piece of it is also around, their experience with agents if they do need to go to an agent. We mentioned that. And agents are really the highest cost for a business of their contact center. So enabling agents to make the experience better if they do go to an agent in the conversation and giving them real-time guidance and other tools has been really beneficial. And then finally, obviously, giving businesses that benefit of analytics and business tools and data to make changes. So, seeing what customers prefer, seeing what's successful, and then allowing them to optimize your experience creating more adoption for the public as well.
Yeah, I think rolling back to one of those early statistics that you shared about that feeling of having to restart the conversation from scratch when you get handed over, I can see how having that view of the customer and previous conversation instantly resolves that pain point, doesn't it, for the agent and for the customer to be able to read this is the conversation so far, to be able to play that back. But I suppose there is still a certain element, isn't there, of high skill required from agents to be able to handle that handover. Even though the data is now there, they still need to be prepared to do that. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And something that our RingCX platform does is actually provide that real-time feedback to agents as well as coaching post-call. But really, a great feature is call summaries. And I use it as well from our system. So taking a conversation that might be lasting, 10 minutes or so, which could be pages of transcription, but summarizing it into actionable notes concisely, that agents can then quickly put, leverage in their CRM systems and without, a lot of effort, has proven to be really beneficial, not only for the customer experience, but also for agents and reducing that costly attrition that we talked about. So, those tools do come into play.
Yeah, definitely. And then the other frustration about like waiting times, as we discussed at the top, then that would improve customer service in having an immediate first point of contact. That even though it is digital and it's Gen AI driven, what can those kinds of tools help to resolve?
Yes, absolutely. Providing the self-service options are going to offload the volumes to what might be a limited pool of agents so that you are able to get questions answered in a more timely manner. And the other piece of that we saw was, being able to get their calls answered the first time, right? Not being transferred around to multiple agents. So, two ways that we're doing that and we see as beneficial is really not only enabling agents with the right data to be able to answer your questions the first time around, but also giving agents real-time access to subject matter experts. So our system actually allows them to see, if let's say I'm calling about a product and I want to know availability. We all know that sometimes those systems on inventory aren't 100% accurate. Lagging, I can exactly. So I can real time go reach out to someone via messaging or call and validate there is indeed one left of whatever that item was, and then answer the caller, right on that first call. So, lots of things that companies can do to help us with that experience in wait time, as well as avoiding being transferred around to multiple agents.
So, yeah, so helping agents to be kind of multi-skilled in.
Exactly.
Even if they don't know that information, quickly being able to retrieve it without even necessarily having to speak to another person about it. So I'm just like trailing the customer journey now and thinking about all these different touch points that we have in the contact journey and seeing how that kind of comes to life with mm-hmm. AI enhancement, as opposed to, like you said at the start, those chatbots that don't understand what you're saying and just cut you off from humans. So would it be like if you really understand the volumes, like you said, the most commonly asked questions, is that a good area to think about AI and self-serve, like being able to take that volume out, resolve the customer's problem by enabling them to solve it for themselves without needing to talk to somebody?
Yeah, so it's a combination of criteria that are, you know, are recommended to be used to prioritize where you're going to offer self-service. Mm-hmm. Surely volume is one of the most important criteria. You want to offload the highest volume interactions to the contact center, but it's also critical to understand that use case. And are you able to fulfill that readily with self-service? You know, do you have the right data, and are you able to present it properly and able to understand that intent and designing it a call flow around that? So you know, that's something that we like to do, is work with our customers and prioritize a roadmap of where they start and how do they offer self-service for the right use cases.
Yes.
And it's also, you know, companies, it's great for them to start to, you know, with one area and recognize the benefits and then expand their self-service, options and use cases as they see results. And, you know, honestly, it's saving companies money. So they're able to take that investment and offer them more and more capabilities of self-service in their system. So, you know, volume's absolutely an important one, but also understanding the use case and how readily it will be addressed with self-service.
And as a customer experience designer, mm-hmm. I think for me, being able to really utilize that as part of the conversation and the decision-making around tech selection. So you said like there's the business side reasons, isn't there? Like cost and volume. There's mm-hmm. the customer use cases from their perspective of what are the most common things I actually contact you to do, and designing self-service journeys that make that as easy as possible. So you get the you tick the box for the business side use case of reducing cost, but at the same time enhancing the experience. And I think for me, sometimes where businesses go wrong is that they don't consider the customer as much as they consider the business case aspect, but that there can be win-wins, right? That you can identify with a bit of thinking, customer focus and experience design, to be able to do with both, to enhance the experience and deliver on the business benefits.
Absolutely. And you know, something that's really evolved, I mentioned I've been working with conversational AI for long decades time. And the thing that's so much more interesting and successful today is that we can actually leverage that generative AI to improve the customer experience. So these bots, ours can basically see how customers are asking for things and update and improve and optimize. It's based on that. So really the technology has come a long way, and I believe companies are seeing a wake up call. Hopefully they do. Hopefully they'll read this survey and realize how important it is to do it right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So making that connection there, I suppose, for the customer experience listeners out there, you know, we think a lot about, user experience and interaction, as well as kind of customer journeys, but also to consider like the power of the analytics that you get off the back of the great bots being able to perform analysis on all of the interactions that happen at the front end to be able to advise and guide on what you might need to prioritize differently. But did you say you can make actual changes automatically?
Yeah, so, you know, the generative AI can determine as people are asking, you know, new questions or use cases that weren't considered, the system can, you know, be optimized. We recommend, you know, of course, there's some human validation, but the system can, you know, create and understand and through analytics show what other, you know, inquiries people have, more opportunities for self-service, as well as, you know, the ability to then locate that data. It's really amazing, you know, what can be done, particularly in digital self-service and queries using generative AI, you know, being able to search a company's webpage and look at multiple data sources and provide the consumer or patient or member with concise information in less than a minute. Really, really amazing and providing a great customer experience.
Yeah, so the potential opportunities for Gen AI to do better than human, I think I'm hearing there. But I'm sure our listeners would love to delve a little bit deeper. So we talked about some of these like kind of strategic questions and approach questions mm-hmm. about the challenges. But what are some of the most common issues that businesses experience when they're trying to integrate AI into their customer service propositions? Let's just be super clear for the audience.
Sure. No, I think it's important to, you know, figure out, you mentioned data sources, right? So having, you know, looking at data and sharing data across the business. AI is probably one of the most powerful technologies to drive, you know, collaboration in a company versus working in silos. So, you know, really critical that they share data, that they remove those silos and that they understand what has been happening today, right? What's been happening in their customer relationships and how can they approach this better? You will see, you know, lots of new roles in organizations. You know, in addition, there was, years ago, there were chief, you know, digital innovation and digital officers. Well, you know, now there's customer experience, success officers and data, roles to really pull this together. And then, you know, really leveraging it to tailor customer experience and preferences. So taking that AI from, you know, use cases and customers and delivering an experience specific to their requirements is also important as they, you know, as they pursue this. And the other thing we see is, you know, optimizing. We talked about agent tools and optimizing them with AI, and it's important that we don't believe agents are going to be replaced entirely by AI, but they're going to be, you know, optimized and enhanced. I had been to an analyst conference a few weeks ago, and we were talking about how companies should be able to use AI, not just to, you know, make agents be able to do more calls in less time, but actually up-leveling any agents and optimizing them and enabling them to do more robust interactions by leveraging AI for easier use cases. So I think, looking at all of that, optimizing and not necessarily doing a full-out replacement of people and pushing us all to self-service makes sense.
Yeah, so augment over replace, I'm hearing.
Exactly.
So final question is now really starting to look ahead to the future. And I just wondered what further research or initiatives do you believe are needed to fully realize the potential of AI in improving customer experiences?
Wow, that is a great question.
It's a big one.
It is a big one. Yeah. I think, you know, just fundamentally to continue to look at the results, using, you know, the analytics that, you know, these platforms can provide, and paying attention to results and looking for opportunities for improvement, constantly considering security, what data is being leveraged, accuracy, privacy, all the things that come into play with AI, and you know, just continuing to read the results and focus accordingly to the right areas of optimization and opportunities to incorporate AI elsewhere.
Yeah. So it's a difficult balance, isn't it? Because the potential of this technology is huge for it to really positively enhance human experiences, but there is also like such huge potential for the cat's here. Such huge potential.
They love to visit.
Yeah, I love cats. Such huge potential for risk as well, right? When we look at some of the biases and potentially discriminatory aspects of AI and algorithms that, you know, because it's based on previous history, right? And a lot of the sources are pulled directly from what is a very biased internet. So, you know, as well as the kind of like technical considerations, there is like a huge ethical part of this, isn't there? And
absolutely. And I think that's, you know, really interesting when you look at AI being used in corporations. Mm-hmm. They are using the data, or should be, and you know, from their customers, right? Mm-hmm. And they should be able to make the system perform better on the data from their customers. But you're 100% right with what we're finding. That core data is based on, you know, the data coming from limited sources, and mm-hmm. it can absolutely be biased. So, you know, really important to look at your customers, those use cases, widespread, who's successful, who isn't with the systems, and mm-hmm. how you can improve that continuously. It really is an iterative optimization process. It is not one and done by any means.
Yeah. So there's the potential to build a better AI future, but it sounds like we need to be working on that now. The source data that we're pulling things from, the ethical considerations being part of the strategic view, like having design principles around how do we ensure that this is inclusive, both from a artificial intelligence and technology perspective, to avoid some of those pitfalls. And I think, yeah, it's a really important consideration for organizations from my perspective, like the intentions behind why are we doing this in the first place? With 100%. There being so much potential, not to limit it to we can reduce our costs, but actually we can enhance human experiences and actually potentially create something pretty wonderful.
Yeah, from absolutely.
An inclusion point of view.
And again, both human experiences, right? The customer's agent experience as well as the agent's experience, and how we can improve and enhance that. Because, you know, one leads to the other, as we know, you know, the agent experience is going to drive a better consumer experience.
Yeah. I think my final question then is just about like integration of feedback into this future vision then. So we talked about, you know, being able to analyze data and results and outcomes and continue to iterate and optimize. But how important is customer feedback going to be in the journey towards creating this better future enabled by AI?
But customer feedback is the most critical element of data to collect, right? If you're going to improve your interaction with customers, you need to understand what they're experiencing today. You know, there are tools we offer, you know, a feedback management tool, for example, where, you know, you are you're acquiring data, and you're acquiring that in a number of ways. You know, what customers are readily able to provide responses. And we see, for example, that texting and SMS messages are ways that customers provide quick feedback, and they're more, the propensity for them to respond is higher. So that is a critical element of improving any, you know, any data and any tool and like this, and leveraging the AI. It's really going to be important for companies to incorporate that and leverage that feedback. You know, that's even, we're seeing it as we talked about earlier, in real-time interactions with customers.
Yeah, that's what AI, I'm excited about. Yeah.
Yes.
Not so having to ask agents anymore. Yeah.
Exactly. So telling agents, you know, how they feel, having the ability to sense their emotion, the customer's emotions during a call.
Exactly.
And tracking that information, scoring the call, and giving companies real feedback about that customer's experience throughout their journey with the company has been, you know, really insightful and really kind of automates and provides that real-time customer data you've mentioned.
Yeah, I think it's that's where things start to get exciting, isn't it? When you put together different technology opportunities. So like sentiment analysis with AI and conversation analytics with AI. And like I would imagine it would be amazing if we didn't have to send customer surveys anymore, that we could just like judge based on, as you said, the technologies available in the future to be able to really say whether or not we've done a good job, and at the outcome obviously being the best thing, the most important thing. So thank you so much for joining me today, Danita.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. This has been great. And it's a, you know, really interesting topics. And as again, I said that survey just provided so much insight into how important the customer experience is and how people feel about it today.
Yeah. So listeners, if you would like to find out more, there's a link in the show notes to a really awesome blog. I loved reading it. You can just click that link and you'll be able to read more about the insights, the findings, and some commentary around that. So that's it. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you all next time. Bye for now. Bye, Danita.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Women in CX Talk Trends podcast with me, Claire Muscat. If you'd like to support our mission to amplify the voices of women in CX and technology and share more diverse perspectives on the latest trends shaping our industry, we'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to be featured on the podcast, please get in touch with us at partnerships@womenincx.community. Well, that's all for now. See you all next time.